Welcome to the Home Business Podcast with Richard Captain Henderson, publisher of Home Business Magazine, and Sherilyn Colleen, managing editor. This how-to show helps you successfully operate your home-based business.
Greetings and welcome to the Home Business Podcast. I'm Richard Captain Henderson, your skipper at Home Business TV.
And I'm Sherilyn, your co-host.
Let's secure for sea and get underway. Have you ever thought about taking on the biggest business in an industry going head-to-head with them?
Our next guest has done just that, carving out a profitable publishing niche in the huge student test preparation market.
Erica Meltzer is the brilliant founder and best-selling author of The Critical Reader, a popular series of test prep books for high schoolers.
With over 150,000 copies sold, she single-handedly outperformed established companies in her field. Her SAT and ACT guides consistently rank top in their categories.
Erica Meltzer has an exciting startup story to share with valuable advice that our podcast audience can use with their own business struggles.
So greetings, Erica Meltzer. Welcome to our podcast. Say hello to our audience.
Hi, thank you. Hi, everyone.
Hi.
Where are you connecting in from today?
I'm from New York City.
Of course, if it's in the publishing business, it's probably in New York. We're in publishing here, but we're in the Twin Cities. So, New York City is definitely the big kahuna for that market.
That's true. Okay, so first, let's get to know you better. Erica, you are a graduate of Wellesley and a millionaire before age 40. What were you doing before you thought about taking on the test preparation market?
Well, I did a couple of things. I worked right after I graduated from college. I worked a couple of administrative jobs. My first job out of college, I was the assistant to the chair of the art history department at Harvard, which sounds very exciting, but I mean, you know, it was administrative, but I definitely got to see a side of academia up close that not a lot of people have access to. And then I did something similar in the philosophy department at Columbia for another few years. And I was very involved in admissions, but more with the graduate admission side, just sort of handling applications and running that whole process for the department. I was tutoring on the side also. I started out actually tutoring for the French department when I was a senior in college, and you know, I enjoyed it, and so I kept doing it just casually after I graduated. And so I was doing a few things. You know, I was working a day job, and then I was freelancing, but all in that sort of educational sector.
So you're keeping your hands in the academic arena. And working a lot with people, you know, imagine admissions that were coming in. As that kind of leads into my second question, which is, you know, we hear a lot about an entrepreneurial spark. What sparked you into thinking you could take on the huge test preparation industry?
You know, it's funny. I actually, I didn't even think of it in those terms initially. I saw that there was a need for, grammar material specifically for students either who weren't native English speakers and who needed really a lot of remediation in addition to test prep, or for students who were already scoring really pretty well but who needed sort of that extra push to get into the stratosphere. And you know, these kids I was posting things on my blog, I was posting grammar rules, and people would contact me, and you know, they were really enthusiastic about this. And so it seemed like there was really a need for materials in these specific areas. So when I did initially, I didn't even think of it in terms of, oh, I'm going to take on this entire industry. It was just producing materials for this very specific sector of the test-taking population that most of the companies, the existing companies, seem to be overlooking.
Well, like in business, we talk a lot about push versus pull. You know, are you pushing something or are you getting pulled into it? Sounds like a little bit of this is you got pulled in, and then you were getting some feedback, and you were working with people, and you know, there was a niche here.
Yeah. There really was. And, you know, I mean, it's funny, if somebody had said to me, or had suggested to me in, say, I don't know, 2007, when I really just started doing all this, 2008, if somebody had suggested writing a grammar book to me or an SAT prep book, period, I would have looked at them like they were completely insane. Because, you know, you go into the bookstore.
Yeah, and it's like, there's just like all these books there. It's overwhelming.
Shelves and shelves of test prep books. And it looks like the market is completely saturated. that, you know, it's tough to the gills. Every, you know, everybody and their mother's written is written an SAT book. And so you would think, why would need to write another book for this test? But it turned out that that really almost all the market was focused on really the middle of the test-taking population, sort of geared towards the average student, or what they imagined the average student was, I should say, rather. And there were really... there was really an entire population that just wasn't getting taken into account. So what looked like was happening and what was actually happening, those were two very different things.
I see. Yeah, we'll talk a little bit more about that, you know, that niche you you developed. But just, you know, just a little bit, you know, kind of looking at that, was the online factor of being, you know, being able to, you know, push things online and get started online. Was that a factor at all? Because
absolutely.
You
know,
I find it interesting with the home business industry in general. One of the traditional longtime home businesses has been publishing when it was print, but then, you know, and then the online came on and developed this revolution.
Absolutely.
I imagine that kind of carried on to publishing too, where that opened up some opportunities.
So actually that's a really interesting question. And that was actually, the answer is yes. And in two different ways. The first way was through my blog, actually, because when I started posting all, when I started writing these grammar articles for what eventually became my first book, I didn't even realize that it was a book. I wasn't even thinking of it in terms of it being a book at that point. I was just posting these little, you know, these individual short lessons, essentially, on my blog, and people were reading them. And you know, doing that allowed me to have access to a much broader audience than obviously I would have had otherwise. And it also allowed me to see what, or, you know, to interact with them and to understand what their needs were. And you know, that their needs essentially weren't being met. And without my blog, without the online platform, I never would have had that experience.
Yeah,
so that's the first thing. And then the second part, of course, is the self-publishing, which completely revolutionized, I think, the test prep industry, or the test prep book industry, I should say. And it allowed people to be much more experimental, I think, than they would have been otherwise. Because, you know, when I wrote the book initially, or when I realized it was a book, I thought, okay, you know, maybe I'll shop this around to traditional publishers. Like, well, what do I do with this thing? I really sincerely was not sure. And then I found out about self-publishing. And it seemed like, you know, first of all, it allowed me to get to market much faster, but also being able to experiment, essentially, to say, okay, I'm going to try this. I think it's going to work. But not having to print, you know, do a print run of 1,000 or 3,000 or 5,000 copies initially.
Oh, that's a good way of looking at it. So the online allowed you to, you know, to experiment, do some trial and error. And
absolutely.
Then we'll talk a little bit more into the show about, you know, this niche and moving into this. But, you know, before moving on to our next topic, I'd like to highlight this show sponsor, Greenwood Health Systems. Be part of the billion-dollar stem cell industry. Let Greenwood Health Systems show you the way. Free to join, free website, and a great home-based biz opportunity. Download their free report today. For more info, visit nhrpc.com/HBM or visit our podcast website for more information on sponsors.
Success in business usually requires finding an underdeveloped niche and filling it. Erica, what niche did you go after in the test preparation market?
So initially, the niche that I went after was grammar, because interestingly enough, when the SAT changed for not this past time, but the previous time in 2005, they added what was formerly the writing SAT 2 to the main SAT. But what was happening was companies would produce sort of general verbal books that included both the reading and the writing, but they were fairly, you know, they were fairly superficial. It covered the most important things generally, but it didn't really, there was no book that was just dedicated to the writing portion, to the grammar portion. So I saw, for example, that there was really a need for a book that went through all the grammar that was tested in a really systematic way, because nobody else was doing this. Second, after that, I did the same thing for the reading, because surprisingly enough, there was actually I don't think, actually, I'm not sure there was a full book.
But you found actual weak points in the test preparation market.
Oh, absolutely.
That was out there. And it was, so it wasn't like just kind of overall, I got to figure out how to build a, you know, a better mousetrap.
Oh, no, absolutely not.
You found a weak point there.
I got into it because there were weak points. It's not that I decided that I wanted, and I think I'm, you know, for in terms of business strategy, this is really, really an important point for me, that I didn't say, okay, I want to write an SAT prep book, let me go look at for ways into the market. I saw what was missing from the market, and then I developed my products to meet that.
Okay, well, let's talk a little bit more about that startup phase. You know, sure. you talked a little bit about, you know, the online and doing some testing in your blog, but, you know, what were some of the other first steps you did in developing your test books and then launching them?
So originally, I offered beta copies. After I had, had all these articles on my blog, basically, I just put them together. And before it was even a book, when it was sort of still in draft form, I just offered a PDF that I sold to people for, you know, like $20. I sent it out and just saw, you know, how do people respond to this?
You know, I always wondered about that. If you send a PDF out, you know, how do you guard against people taking the PDF and, hey, this is great. You know, you send it to somebody else. And
absolutely. And I mean, that's actually been an ongoing problem for me, the whole digitization issue. Mm-hmm. But initially it was really, you know, it's not something that, it didn't look entirely professional. So I was less concerned about it at that point. Probably maybe a little bit less concerned than I should have been, but, you know, it was only a handful of copies and, you know, I got the sense that the people who were buying it weren't, you know, they weren't looking to, you know, distribute it on a mass scale or even, you know, put it on some sharing platform or whatever.
That could sure be a good indicator if people are sharing it illegally. Yeah. Hey, put out more copies.
Now I deal with the illegal stuff, but, initially it was, you know, it was a beta version. I mean, it was imperfect. So
You got some good feedback too.
I got some great feedback from it. Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. So in that instance, it worked.
So Erica, you have a great social media presence. How did you use social media to grow your business in the startup phase?
The blog would really be the major thing if we're considering that social media. The blog has been basically sort of my home on the web since I started it back in 2008. Just posting consistently and, making sure that the things that I'm posting about are really relevant to people's needs, to the questions they have. Finding my audience where they lurk online, basically. I spent a lot of time reading like test prep forums and college admissions forums and just finding out what people are really interested in and then tailoring what I write about to the questions that they have.
Erica, is there any particular type of social media you like that's been more beneficial, like Instagram or YouTube?
It's funny. I've used Facebook a lot. And that's been very interesting in terms of, you know, seeing who responds and what sorts of posts people respond to. I have a question of the day, for example. I post a daily grammar question on my website and I've started posting that on Facebook. And that's been a great way to get engagement. And Instagram, I actually just started posting on. I'm very much experimenting with it. That sort of jury's still out on that one. But definitely.
Yeah, I have a lot. I just having trouble getting traction sometimes with Instagram.
There's so many people on there, and there's so much content, and it comes at you so quickly that it can be a little bit overwhelming to pick through and say, okay, you know, what is really valuable here? What is relevant to me?
Yeah, somebody I think said it's like, that's the reality TV. of social media.
Yes.
So, you know, it's anybody's guess. Well, kind of moving on here, you know, every startup faces cash flow, you know, challenges sailing on the way to generating a profit. Erica, what were some of the barriers you faced in financing a publishing business?
Oof. Initially, I was lucky in that my first book was very low overhead. There was, you know, it was just me make basically making up questions. So I, the only thing I had to do was hire a proofreader.
Well, just a question there. So you didn't actually, did you print the first run or was it pretty much just,
well, that's the thing. Well, see, that's the thing. With print on demand, I didn't have to do a print run.
Oh,
that's the beauty. Yeah. That's the beauty of print on demand. I didn't have to put up any overhead. There was nothing on my end. So it was just a question of my formatter and my proofreader for that first book. So that's essentially what allowed me to do it, because if I had needed to have a huge cash flow coming in, I'm not sure I would have been able to get started. I was really able to do it on a shoestring. When I wrote my second book, The Critical Reader, that was a little bit different, because suddenly I was reprinting passages from works that were still under copyright. So I had to, I had to have a significant budget for reprint rights. Mm. So I was still at that point, I was still tutoring a lot. But I was taking the money I was earning from tutoring and basically putting it into the books.
Yeah, but you started small. You worked with what was out there, print on demand. That you used an innovative way that changed the publishing market, and then just grew from there.
It was really, really step by step. But if the print on demand hadn't been available, like I said, I don't know if I would have been able to start this whole thing.
Erica, you have conquered the test preparation market. What do you see in the future for your business as you move into more of a sustainment phase?
Well, let's see. I mean, I'm looking into doing more online, more in terms of, actually putting content online. People keep asking me, or they have the mistaken impression in some cases that I'm actually offering an online course. I'm not at the moment, but I'm looking at, or I'm investigating ways that, I could possibly take content from my grammar book and actually turn it into like a series of online lessons, for example. Or one of my reading books, that's certainly something I'm looking into.
So no 100,000 person webinars or
not at the moment.
Out there.
I do tutor training occasionally. I do things like that, but, right now I don't see that being in my immediate future. But, I'm looking into also ways that I could potentially either advise self-published authors, because, people do contact me with questions sometimes, either that, or I'm looking into expanding in terms of on the publishing side and potentially publishing other test prep writers.
Well, it sounds like you got a pretty good balance of, diversifying your current product and then looking at new things that you can go into that key off of that. And exactly. That's a good balance to your diversification strategy. Sounds like you got a good plan.
Yeah. I'm trying to keep it incremental and, try something, see if it works. And then if it seems to be working out, then expand in that direction. And that's kind of what I've done all along.
Well, great. If you're a millionaire under 40, you've done it the smart way. I wish I could say that, but Erica Meltzer, it's been a great discussion on your success story and conquering the test preparation market with The Critical Reader. Do you have any final points you would like to share with our audience?
I think that's it. Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, thanks for coming on our show. Erica Meltzer. To learn more about her and The Critical Reader, visit thecriticalreader.com or our podcast website for more information.
Thanks for joining us on this episode of the Home Business Podcast. Share your feedback with us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, at our website, homebusinessmag.com.
Visit the website for information on advertising. Subscribe free to our newsletter. Please visit our sponsors. For more information, visit homebusinessmag.com or the Home Business Expo at homebusinessexpo.com.
I'm Richard Captain Henderson saying anchors away.
We'll talk with you soon. Until then,
make it a great home-based biz day.